title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Enemy's Help, Part 3. The Enemy's Help, Part 3. October 21st, 2012. We're almost done with October. Thanksgiving's around the corner, and then Christmas finishes us strong. Amen. I can't wait. I'll get to my list here next week. Amen. It'll be like a scroll. It'll be good, man. Amen. I'll write big for you that don't have glasses. Praise God. Or you could use mine. Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning I want to continue on our series about the enemy's help, part 3, because I want to share with you a little bit more. I want to go in a little deeper understanding that there is an enemy, and he's there to help you. His purpose is to help your purpose in life. Amen. And this morning I want you to know that we got to learn to take the devil by surprise by being prepared for his attacks. And we should use his attacks to propel us to have a closer walk with Jesus. And I was asking Jesus about this. And I said, Holy Spirit, help me a little bit with this morning. Because what God was showing me, he gave me an illustration of a football huddle. And in that huddle, there are men and or women. Amen. Depends if you're playing flag football or if you're playing regular football. Amen. The way some of the teams have been playing, they look like they've been playing with some women. Amen, I tell you. But the Lord was saying there was a time when people get together in a huddle, and there's one that makes the call. There ain't 12 that make the call. There's one that makes the call. And it's usually the quarterback. So if we can get Jesus to be our quarterback, amen, and that we, when we get in the huddle, do what he says to do when he gives us the instruction, we'll be prepared when the enemy, the giants, are coming across the field to try to tackle. We'll have the right plan, the right maneuver to do and duck what we need to do to get where we need to do and score a touchdown. At the end of the day, it's the team that's not afraid, amen. Every time they go out there, there's an intimidation that happens. Oh man, we're playing against those guys and they're all 7'2" and they're 380 pounds and we're only 120 pounds soaking wet with our uniform and our equipment on. See, but there's no fear. God's a great equalizer. I mean, I think about what David had to do to the Goliath. Same situation. People would say, no way. But there is a Goliath that you're going to have to get beyond. There is a Pharaoh that tries to hold you up. And there is a Satan that doesn't want you to finish your plan and your purpose. That's what he's doing. He's out to get you. But he's also there to help you and propel you, to push you forward in the things of God. Amen? We said that the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign that your present season that you're in is coming to an end. When the enemy arrives and he shows up in your life, that means there's something right about to transform in your life. The old things you used to do are going to start fading away. You're going to go to step out into another level, another dimension of the things of God. Amen? Sometimes God often assigns this enemy as a catalyst for you to exit one season so you enter a new season. Sometimes you're happy where you're at, but there's something better on the other side. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side. But you got to understand, sometimes you won't move there. You want to stay there because I'm pretty comfortable right here. I'm pretty good. I don't know if I want to move. And God's going to say, it's time for you to move. And I'm going to have to put an enemy in your life to cross you a little bit, to kick you a little bit, to get you to move where I want you to go. Amen? See, enemies are an indicator to you that God is planning movement in your life and transition is right around the corner. In order to have great progress in your life, an enemy is required. And an enemy gives you purpose. Like I said, there's a Goliath, a Pharaoh, and Satan standing between you and who you're destined to become. You're destined to become someone great. You're destined to become someone to be used by God. Amen? But there's something that's blocking you. I've asked God about this church. You know, 9 years we've been at this thing. Lord, I expected when I started the first week, we would have 1,000 people. Well, I don't see 1,000 people. He says, you're looking through the wrong glasses. Put these on. These will see. You see 1,000 people. And I said, well, God, but I don't see it. He said, well, because there's been a Goliath, a Pharaoh, and a Satan standing between you and your destiny, and all you got to do is keep on chipping away. You're stealing his spoils every time you come and preach. And there will be an opening. There will be a time in the season where the church will get filled. But right now, it's just for those that are hungry for the word, those that want to change, those that want to be transformed, those that are going to need to be prayerfully charged up and ready for when the crowd comes. Because when a crowd comes, sometimes they can be disorderly, not knowing God. So we have to know God and what his plans are so we can keep things in check and the way he wants to get it done. I defined the enemy last time as any circumstance, any person, any deep-seated sin, any crippling character flaw, really anything the devil can dream up that threatens you to be and have your completion for God's purpose in your life. There is a purpose in your life. There is. And the devil's thing is to stop it. Because once it starts rolling, look out. Look out. There's going to be a whole bunch of people connected to you. And those people are going to go where you go. You go to church, they're going to go to church. You're going to hell, guess where they're all going to go. So there's people that are connected to you. God's got a purpose in your life. Remember, God's the architect. Didn't we say that God's an architect? Didn't we say in the Bible that we're already predestined and foreordained? That's why the enemy resides in your life. The devil wants to block the final product that has been placed within you. We're going to share this morning. This morning is going to be so good. It's going to be so simple, but so good. Because we're building these building blocks about the enemy. And he is really working on your behalf. He's really helping you. You might not like it. Sometimes I don't. I don't like to be tested. But there's a reason why you're going through some stuff. And I'm going to share that this morning. An enemy arising in your life is a key indicator that the next stage of your future is about to be born. There's something right about to transpire. There's a change that's right about to take place, and the enemy is doing everything he can to block it. Because he knows there's something inside of you. There's a deep purpose that you have inside. There is something for the Lord that he's going to use through you that he can't use anybody else for. And the devil wants to stop it. He wants to block it. He wants to crush it. He wants to kill it before it takes off. Because once it takes off, it's like a fire. It starts to blaze and you can't control it. So we got to find out what this word's all about and what God's trying to tell us this morning about the enemy. Let's stand for the reading of the word real quick. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. This has been our key scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things that are seen, but things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are only temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sometimes we're going to have a light affliction, and Paul went through some stuff in his life, and you see that he considered it a light affliction, even though he took a beating and took a licking and kept on ticking. Amen? But he said there's a greater thing, something eternal. There's a weight of glory that is awaiting me. So I can't look at what I'm seeing. I can't look at the battle that's before me. I can't look at that late payment that's before me. And I can't look at the repossession of my car right now. And I can't look at what I'm seeing, but I got to look at what's unseen. Because the things that are seen are only temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. There's some things happening right now in the spiritual realm that are eternally going to be a blessing to you. And we just have to get prepared for it. There's some things that the devil's doing to you right now that's preparing you for something eternal. There's some things that he's planning for you, God's got for you, on this earth, that's going to make an impact, that people are going to say, wow, I can't believe God used that person. Yeah, that's what he said. I can't believe he used that person. But God's got something for you. And sometimes you have an enemy there to help you, to propel you, to push you, to let you know that you're not there yet. We're going to share that this morning. Heavenly Father, have your will and have your way this morning. Holy Spirit, speak what you want to speak in me and through me. I will be your vessel this morning. I will say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. Let your people open up their spiritual ears to hear what you're going to say. Because, Lord God, your word that's going to be spoken today will change their lives. It will give them a different perspective of maybe where they were sitting, Lord God. And that, Lord God, today clarity will come. Lord God, let them take that step this morning once they get this word. Let them know, Lord God, that you got them covered. I ask you to bless this word this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the plan of God and the enemy's help. The plan of God and the enemy's help. We said last week that God is an architect, and he has plans. If you ever looked at an architect, he has a set of plans and blueprints, and he gets those things approved. I mean, I don't know if you ever looked at houses. Ever go house hunting? We always like to go and look at all the new homes that are getting built. My wife and I like to do that on Saturdays and Sundays. We want to dream big. Amen. When I look at the size of those mortgages, I said, Lord, I'm going to dream real big, because the only one going to pay for that is going to be you, Jesus. Amen. But we look at the homes, and when you go there, you first get a picture of what this is going to look like. And inside there, they have a brochure of the rooms are kind of like detailed and the size of the rooms, and there's a blueprint. But it really doesn't make that much sense until you actually go in and you go, wow, now I see why they put the wall there. And yeah, and oh, that was a bathroom. And oh, boy, I like the way they laid out that bedroom or all that. I mean, but you don't see it, but there's a plan. You can't build a house without a plan. It's got to get approved before they can submit the plans to build something. Because otherwise, what you build won't stand. There's no standard. And you got to understand that God's the architect. And he already has a blueprint for our lives. And we said last week that our life has been predestined. He's already planned ahead. He's already figured it out, so we don't have to figure it out. All we got to do is follow him. Amen. We said, though, there's an awesome responsibility for us to discover our purpose. Because it will not only affect our lives, but the lives of those that are connected to us and for generations to follow. There are people that are connected to us. There are people that are tied into us. There are people and generations to follow that will remember our good name. Amen? See, to God, here's how you got to look at it. God looks at you as a finished product already. He already sees you as this. Just think of a beautiful canvas that you have up there. And the painting is all the... Well, God already sees you completed. Problem is, we don't see ourselves complete. Because we're incomplete without him. Amen? But all along our life, God is watching our life unfold. And he's in our corner cheering for us. Come on, daughter. Come on, son. You can do better than that. Or here, I'm going to connect you with some folks. I'm going to connect you with a church. I'm going to connect you with some words. It's going to help you grow. Amen? Take a look at Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. This is the New King James Version. I want to help you this morning. I want you to understand that God has a plan for you. It's already been laid out. It's already been strategized. He's already figured it out, so you don't have to figure it out. All you got to do is do what he tells you to do. Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Let me stop. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you before the foundations of the earth. Remember Genesis 1 and 2, we talked about the glory, and then there was a form and void, and then Jesus, and then God said, let there be light. And then there was life. He already thought about you then. He thought about you before there was form and void. He already predestined you. He knew you then, over 2,000 years ago. He already had a good plan for you back then. And it says that the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined. Oh, there's that word again. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Let me stop. Adoption's a choice. I mean, you can get pregnant and have a baby. It may not have been your choice. It just happened. But adoption means you made a choice. Adoption says I had to go out and fill out some forms, and I had to go lay out some money, and I had to make a choice, and I choose that take this kid that's not my kid and raise him as my kid and then be like my kid and take my name. Choice. Jesus chose you. You were already predestined as a son of Jesus to him, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. God had created Jesus to come for you and for me, and now we're connected to our elder brother. We have been predestined. That's what the Bible says. It means your fate in life has already been established in Christ. You've already been appointed. You've already been decided in advance what's going to happen. It's already been foreordained. No matter how we get off a course, God's eventually going to correct the course, and he'll use the enemy to help be the correcting factor. See, the devil is out to trip you up and cause you to miss out or quit your assignment. He does this because you remind him too much of Jesus. He don't like you. He's not supposed to like you. You ever get somebody that reminds you of somebody and you just hate that person? You dislike them. I won't say hate. Hate might be a strong. You dislike that person. That person reminds you of them and you just want to. Well, you remind the devil of Jesus. And the last time I looked, Jesus whooped them. And Obamacare couldn't even handle that. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus took him down to the mat. He beat him up. Amen? And then the devil thought he had him out after he crucified. Oh, look what I did to that Jesus. But then on the third day, he rose again to fulfill the scriptures. That same resurrection power that was in Jesus is inside of you. You remind him so much of Jesus, he just hates you, the devil. And the more you spend time with God, the more you start to talk like him, the more you start to walk like him, the more you start acting like Jesus, guess what happens? He hates you even more. Because he remembered what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. How he whooped him, how he defeated him, how he took the hell and the grave and Hades and all that, grabbed it and said, hey, I got the victory. See, as long as you were living in sin, devil was fine to leave you alone. I remember, I lived in sin for a long time. Devil never messed with me. It seemed like everything was going well. I had lots of money, and I had nice cars and vacations, and did everything I wanted to do, and I was, you know, being a fool the whole time, and the devil had me right where he wanted me to be. But now, you know, you begin to get your life in order, and you start setting some boundaries, and you start doing the Word of God, and you start giving to the church, and you start giving up your time, and your talent, and your finance, and all of a sudden, the devil goes, oh, wait a minute. Hey, stop. That's not what I signed up for. Wait a minute, you're starting to look like that guy that defeated me. I mean, I remember Muhammad Ali saying something when he got beat by Joe Frazier that one time. He was angry. He was upset. I watched the New York Yankees this week get beat by the Detroit Tigers. They said they would never be defeated. And then they get swept in four games. They were upset. I think next year when they face them, every time they face them, they're going to come back with the same tenacity. I think they're going to come back even more upset. And they're going to try to win. They're going to give it a stronger effort than what they did this time. The devil is always trying to make a stronger effort to snuff you out. See, as long as you were living for the devil, everything was fine. But now you have everything in order, or you're working, and you're heading in the right direction, in a positive direction. And what's happening now, the devil sees you as a threat and wants to take you out. He doesn't like that you made some wise choices and you've had to have some course correction, amen, and he's helped you. Shout, devil, your attacks push me into the arms of Jesus. Thanks for your help. See, we got to thank the devil sometimes. I mean, the devil's not always to be blamed for something. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did it. We blame the devil. We give the devil way, way, way too much. We do. We got to understand something this morning. That we're supposed to be a vessel of praise. We're supposed to be a vessel that God works through. We're supposed to be the vessel that the glory flows through. Amen? Paul said it in Ephesians 1:12. This is the New American Standard Bible says this. Ephesians 1:12. Ephesians 1:12, New American Standard says this. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. We are just not to praise Him, but we are to become praise. We are an instrument of praise, of glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ephesians 1, 11-12 out of the Message translation says it this way. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Before then, we weren't living right. We were jacked up. It says, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had an eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. See, Paul told us in the Bible just not to give Him praise, but he urged us to be praise. The New Testament, when you look at the terminology glory, it means likeness or to resemble. We are to resemble God. We are to be in His likeness. We are to be like Christ. In other words, when you bring the glory to God, it means that God is hard at work in making you become something that resembles Him. Something that more clearly bears His image. It should come no surprise to you that sometimes it upsets people. Sometimes it upsets the devil that you're becoming, that you're resembling, that you're looking like, that you're acting like, you're starting to have mannerisms like Jesus had. Uh-oh. The devil isn't concerned. Now get this morning. The devil isn't concerned with fighting something that you're doing. Not. He fights who you're becoming. Let me say that again. The devil isn't concerned with fighting something you're doing. He's not going to fight sometimes that we're having a harvest fest and some people might get saved. You might come back to church on Sunday and wow and get set free. He's not as much fighting you as when you're doing that crusade. My nephew's in a crusade right now in Peru. He may not fight that. He may not fight when we go out and we help some homeless people or we go help somebody who doesn't have any food or during Christmas time that we're a blessing to somebody. He might not even fight that. But one thing he is fighting is who you're becoming. Because now you're starting to look like, you're starting to talk like the guy that defeated him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Think about this for a minute. The first 30 years of Jesus' life, He was just known as a carpenter's son. Nowhere in the Bible could I find, I mean, I researched it, that Jesus really had any spiritual attacks during His first 30 years of life. He was just a young man growing up, and He was a carpenter's son, and He was building furniture and, you know, just doing the will of God. But there was, when you look at it, there was no really mention of any spiritual warfare against Him, any attacks, until John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Uh-oh. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, all the heavens opened to reveal His true identity. There's a true identity of you in Christ. And the devil is fighting that. That's why he's not interested in what you're doing as much as he's interested in who you're becoming like. He doesn't want another Jesus on his hand. He already knows what happened to him the first time. He already knows his judgment is Hades forever, for eternity. But what he doesn't want to be there alone. So he wants you to share with him in Hades. And what God is saying that there's something inside of you that the devil's trying to fight you on. There's something good inside of you. Amen? It wasn't until Jesus was revealed, his true identity, that the enemy immediately came out and challenged and said, I gotta take on that Jesus. Something ain't right here. So sure enough, after the baptism, Jesus was promptly led into the desert where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. 40 days. 40 days straight. I don't know if we could handle an attack for 40 days. Sometimes we can't handle it for 40 minutes. Sometimes we can't handle it for 4 seconds because we're babies. But Jesus, once his identity was known, he had an enemy. And the enemy didn't like him. Why? Because there was something in him that was going to be great. And if the enemy could have snuffed him out, if the enemy said, hey, Jesus, jump down here on these cliffs, or turn this rock into bread, Jesus said, I ain't playing that game. I'm above that. You don't know who I am. My identity is just like my Father's identity. I'm God's chosen. I'm God's best. The testing came to the point of Jesus' identity. The same is true about you. The devil is to be out there to test your identity, who you're connected to. Your DNA says J-E-S-U-S. Did you realize that? Who you're connected to? You're connected to Jesus. You're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are identifying. And every time that you get in his likeness, every time you get to resemble him a little bit more, there will be a devil or a demon or a test or a Pharaoh or a Goliath or a Satan that you have to battle. See, real trouble will not come in life to challenge what you're doing. It will come to test who you are. Let me say that again. This is going to help you this morning. Real trouble will not come in life to challenge what you're doing. It will come to test who you are. The devil's there to test you. That's why there's a testing. He tested the Lord 40 days. Guess what? You're going to go through some tests. When the kids tell me they got the SAT test or the PSAT test or they got this, I say, it's only to test what you know and who you are, what's already inside of you. It will test who you are. See, God's definition of winning is fulfilled when you battle, when you fight the battle. And when it's all over, you are even more established in the identity he's designed for you. He's the architect. He has already designed your identity in him. That's why the devil is there to give you purpose. That's why the devil is there to fight you. That's why the devil is there. It seems like every step I take, oh, the devil's there again. But I don't give him that much credit. I sometimes just have to say, devil, get out of my way. You're not going to slow me down. You're not going to impede what progress I have. Why? Because I'm a child of the Most High. Whatever identity God has established in you, that's why when that happens, the battle, when you're battling the enemy, it will bring the identity to light. And when you face and defeat the enemy, guess what happens? Your identity becomes greater. Your battle with the enemy isn't over your stuff. His fight is to try to make you out to be something different from what you really are. Let me say that again. The battle with the enemy isn't over your stuff. He ain't interested in your cars, your home, or your gold. What he's interested in, his fight is to try to make you out to be something different from what you already been created to be or who you already really are. This morning, you got to understand something. What God has started in you, he will bring to completion. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it wasn't going to be with a couple tests and a few trials. He didn't say that sometimes you're going to have to go against the enemy. He didn't say you might have to stop some things you were doing and realign yourself or align yourself with the things of God. He didn't say, there wasn't going to be some hard times. He never said that. But he said, if you stay on my course, if you do it my way, and you'll have some seasons, and you'll defeat the enemy along the way, and you'll come to another level, another understanding of who Christ is, another way of looking at who you are in Christ. Allow the struggles and tests in your life to form you into the image of Christ. That's all these tests and struggles are for. Is the more the Word comes in you, the more the Word should come out of you. When you're getting squeezed, the real you comes out. And God's saying, I want to see the real you come out. I've already placed it inside of you, but I want to see the real you. See, the first time you get squeezed, a couple words might come out of your mouth that weren't pleasing. Amen? The other time, you might get squeezed and you're just like, God, this word ain't working for me. But the more you get the word in you and the more you get squeezed, the more the word comes out. Praise you, Lord. I'm going through a test. Hey, man, I got some stuff going on. He never gives you anything that you can't handle. Why? Because the word's already inside of you. He's already has your destiny planned. All you got to do is step over the giant. You got to crush Pharaoh. And then you just got to tell the enemy, Satan, hey, under my feet. What God has started in you, he will complete. He sees the beginning to the end. He sees you in the finished state. What you do is you haven't seen yourself in the finished state yet, and he's trying to get you there. You've seen the drawings on the blueprints. Go look at a home. Look at the blueprints. They're nice, but it's nicer to see the finished product. My wife and I look at the homes and go, man, that's beautiful marble. Oh, I like those dark cabinets. Wow, that I didn't see that on the blueprint, you know, per se. It wasn't real to me until I seen it. So you go through these tests, and then you start to see yourself a little different. You start to see yourself a little bit more blessed. You see yourself a little bit more holy. You see yourself walking in a little bit more favor. You start seeing yourself healed. You start walking in that divine health. You have an attack and you say, well, I have an attack on me, but it's only temporary. I only have a light affliction. I'm going to get through it because the word says I can get through it. And you determine the length of your stay in your pain. The more that you can get the word in you, the more it squeezes that thing out. Amen? You can't be number one till you beat number one. The biggest enemy in your life is your mind. You got to learn to beat your mind in order to be number one. You are who you think you are. You guys are walking around, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a king's kid. I'm blessed and highly favored. When I step in a room, the anointing shows up. When I step in, something's going to change. Why? Because you carry the glory of God in you. You got to start walking in with some boldness. That's why the word this morning from God was awesome. Is that he's telling you that you need to step out. Because sometimes we get comfortable where we're at. Sometimes we get comfortable in our season, and the Lord has been sending these little reminders to you that it's time to get out of the season you're in. I got a better season for you. I mean, it's nice to be in the summertime, but I do like the fall. It gives you just a little break to get more, then it makes you more comfortable and more excited when summer comes again. Amen? You got to beat number one to become number one. That's why you got to beat your mindset. Your mindset controls where you're at. You think Moses had all the game plan laid out to beat Pharaoh? David had one plan when he defeated Goliath. I'm going to use this slingshot. I know how to use it. I've whooped some bear. I whooped some other things. I'm going to whoop this guy. This is no big deal for me. Why? Because he's already seen God do it. Every time you have a victory, you get more confident. Every time you get a victory, you look more like Jesus. You start to identify with him, and the devil doesn't like it. But that's good, because now he's there to go against you, and what's been placed inside of you, it's going to be revealed to everybody. In order to have great progress in your life, the enemy is required. In order to go to the next step, you got to have someone pushing you to make you go somewhere. A perfect illustration is, I was watching the kids at the football field, and they have these big football dummy things, and the guy stands on it, and they have to push that thing, right? So, and the heavier the weight, I always see they get the biggest monsters on the thing, and they have to push it. These guys can't do it. But at the middle of the season, you know, beginning of the season, they couldn't even move the thing. And then you see them, you know, by, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, they're moving it. So then they put a bigger, stronger guy. Why? Because there's a resistance. In order to gain muscle, you have to have some resistance. The devil is your resistance. And once you past that one barrier of only lifting 25 pounds, you put another plate on it, and then you can do 30 pounds, and you can do 40 pounds, and you can feel it, and your muscles get stronger. That's what you're going through when you're fighting the devil. You are flexing your Holy Spirit muscles. And guess what's happening? You're going to be intimidating. And the devil doesn't like you. Because now you're looking just like your elder brother Jesus. As long as you're living in sin, the devil's fine. He'll leave you alone. It's when you begin to take order, when you begin to set your boundaries, when you start to establish yourself in the things of God, he ain't too happy about it. The devil isn't concerned about fighting something that you're doing. He fights who you are becoming. You are becoming Christ-like. He don't like that. Real trouble will not come in life to challenge what you're doing. It comes to test who you are. Who you are in Christ. God allows these testings so that you can have a testimony. Amen? Your battle with the enemy isn't over your stuff. He isn't there to steal your Rolls Royce, your BMW, your nice house, your cars. He is there to fight, to try to make you out to be something different than what you really are. You're really a child of the Most High God. You're really blessed and highly favored. You're really the head, not the tail. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. The Bible says that. That's who you are. You may not feel it. You may not even accept it. But the only thing is, you just have to believe. Didn't the song say just believe? All you got to do is believe. Just receive it. Step out in faith. You'll never know where your destiny is going to take you. But staying where you're at isn't where God's called you. Staying somewhere is called stagnant. Stagnant ponds stink. God wants you to always be progressing. God wants you always to be moving forward in the things of God. Amen? That's the reason why I can say that we're stepping into another season. We've had some battles. We've gone through some stuff. And I go, Lord, what are we doing? And the Lord says, I got it all figured out. It's already in you. I got the blueprint. I've been reading it. I said, well, hand me the blueprint. He goes, I did. You just haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen your finish. I've seen what this church looks like. You haven't, Pastor. I've already seen the finished product. I've already seen the masses come. I said, well, let them come now, Jesus. Right now it'll be good. There will be a time in a season. There's a preparation. There's a heart. I'm squeezing some things out of you, he says. Because it's not all me yet. Still a little bit of you holding on. He said, I just got to squeeze you a little bit more. So the remaining coming out is going to be all me. And the door's open. The floodgates will be open. Look out. Two services on Sunday. Church 7 days a week. Crusades. Revival. Oh, happened in that little church on the hill. God does a lot with a little. Just think about Gideon's army, how he pared that down. That's why I don't get distracted. People say, how do you make rent with only so many people in your house? I don't worry about it. It's God's deal. Last time I looked, it's a 30 to 60, 100 fold. He put it in his hands and he takes care of it. Right? I can't help that I went shopping yesterday and got jeans for $5. $5. I went with the anointed one. Went to drop something off, and we laugh, but some people have an anointing. And I said to my wife, I said, what's this, go drop off your stuff that you wanted to drop off? And I wasn't really needing some jeans. She said I needed some because they're all ragged out on the bottom. And I said, but I serve a Jewish guy. When I see $25 or $35 or $40 for a pair of jeans, I go, ah, you ain't paying that. But when I seen the $5 jeans, I was rejoicing. I was saying, oh, Jesus, you brought me to the right place. Who's going to know these aren't $5 jeans? They look like $50 jeans. I only pay $5. Now, the price was like $50, then marked down to $25, and then it was $5. I just waited for the $5. Two pairs, that's $10 plus tax. I boast about it. I mean, you say, but that's crazy, Pastor. Now I was screaming in the store. I got $5 jeans. Oh, you're saying, that's crazy. That's favor. JCPenney was the same place I got 10 $200 jackets for $100. $99, I didn't have to pay tax. That's my God. When you know God shows up to bless his children, you know that, right? When the gas pump takes another 25 cents off your per gallon price, that's only God showing up. When you go in to pay for your Starbucks, it's already been paid for when you come in line. It works. And every time the enemy would try to jack you up, you just got to remember God's got some plan in that. Say, okay, devil, there's a purpose in here. Oh, you're pushing me out of this realm and you're putting me into a whole nother realm. There isn't a new devil. It's just things God's trying to move you along. God doesn't want you to be in the rough stage of the house. He doesn't want where just the foundation's poured, but you're getting walked on. And then you get the foundation that's solid, right? But then you have the wood that comes up. You ever see that? I watched my parents' house get built because I never owned a new home yet. Yeah, it's coming. And anyways, and you see all the boards, and I'm looking and saying, what is this? Is it a closet? Is this a toilet? Is this... What is this? I don't know. And then the devil comes in and gives you a test so you can get past that stage. And then all of a sudden the drywall comes up and you start seeing the walls. And then you get another test and all of a sudden, you see the bathroom fixtures. And then you start seeing the lights. And then you go through another test and all of a sudden you see your marble countertops. Whoa. Your roof's all done. And you're like, wow, I got another test. And that whole place gets painted and it looks beautiful. And the last thing they have to do is what? The flooring. So you have to go through another test. Then the flooring gets laid down. And then you see the final end product. God sees the beginning and the end. He's working from the side of the end and trying to work you towards it. He already sees it. That's why the devil is battling you. That's why the devil doesn't want you to take the next step. That's why the devil doesn't like you. Because you look like someone. You having the same DNA. He goes, this smells like, it looks like, he's acting like, he becoming like the one who created you. The one who defeated the devil. I mean, I look at my kids and they do the craziest things. And I say, I used to do that same thing. And I can't laugh at them. I look at my wife, I can't laugh because what they're doing, I mean, I'm mad, but I can't laugh. But that's what I used to do. They're becoming just like you. Well, we're becoming just like Jesus. And the devil doesn't like that. Shout with me, Heavenly Father, thank you for being the architect of my life. Thanks for predestining my life. Thank you for using my enemies to move me in the position that you've appointed me to be. Thanks for using the enemies in my life to draw me closer to you and use them to shake out and remove what is not of you. Move the clutter so I can walk in your plans and your purposes for my life. I want to praise that brings you glory. I desire to be in your likeness. Use the enemy to help propel me into my next level, in my next walk with my elder brother Jesus. In your name, the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Did you get anything? Did you get it? Do you understand why you're going through some stuff? In 10 days, I got to go have surgery on my shoulder. And I asked God why. He could heal it. I believe I'm already healed. Sometimes I got to use a doctor because I need you to get in some front of someone's face to be a testimony. Or my wife's going to be there, and she's going to be in a waiting room, and there's going to be someone she's going to tell about Jesus. Someone that had a worse report than I had. But there is one whose report says you're healed. One whose report says that you'll walk in divine health, and his name is Jesus. I'm believing I'm healed before I get there. I believe the doctor will go and look at that and say, I don't know what happened. There was this miracle happened. I don't know. You're that preacher guy. You know, you're the one with that weird stuff happens to you. And I said, I know that weird stuff. His name is Jesus. He loves me. I can't help it. I didn't mean to have to cut your doctor visit short. And, you know, you didn't make $5,000 on me today. But if he has to do that, he's going to use it for his glory. Sometimes you have to go through a test. They have a test. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff. Baby just doesn't come out with the woman not having any pain. I know that. I've witnessed that twice now. Sometimes you got to go through a little bit. But understand who you are. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. You are the head, not the tail. You've been created in his image, his likeness, and the more you become like him, the devil starts smelling Jesus all over again. He knows the one who put him under for 2,000 plus years, who's going to be there for eternity. The devil is going to be in hell for eternity. Do you realize that, how long that is? Forever. And you're going to rule and reign, and the devil will be your footstool. For eternity, he will be your footstool. Forever, he'll be your footstool. He knows his destiny. You ought to get to know your destiny. Your destiny is to put your foot over that devil. The devil, all he sees is the bottom of my feet, because I'm stepping on him all day long. He's been defeated. But you got to walk in that. You got to know that the devil's there to push you along. There's tests and trials to push you to be better than where you were today. You won't see the finished product of the house until you advance. This morning's word, step out. You can't have the house that you've always dreamed of if you haven't gone out and looked at houses. You can't put that seed in your head and start to work. My wife and I look at homes all the time. And there's $1 million, $5 million that I know today I can't afford, but I can at least put the seed in me. Is it possible? Maybe not with my paycheck, but when God multiplies it. Amen? Come on. But if you stay dormant, seed doesn't grow. Sometimes you got to get out, step out, and plant the seed. Watch it grow. Amen? And when it germinates, it takes roots and it goes in different directions. Go do something like that. If God's called you to do something, if God's called you to go back to school, then call up CSN when you get out of here and say, how do I apply for school? What's your course schedule? Start setting a path so that you can go do it. You got to step up. Oh, but I might not be able to afford it, or I'm not that smart. Really? I didn't know God created any dummies. He was just a carpenter's son. What does he know? He was the son of God. He knew all. You're connected to that. That DNA is inside of you. Lord, bless your people. I ask you, Lord God, to let them get, just let this seep into their spirit this morning. That the enemy is here to help. The enemy is here to propel us into the arms of Jesus. The enemy is here is to allow us to move forward in the things of Christ. Jesus could have never defeated hell and the grave without having a Judas, without having an enemy, without having someone push him. Lord, as we're being pushed by the enemy, Lord God, and we resist, our muscle is becoming stronger and our faith is becoming greater in you. Bless your people this day. Use, Lord God, the attacks, the tests, to, Lord God, have the real me come out. Let that real me show you in everything I do. Bless us this day. Guide us this day. Lord God, have your will and have your way. I pray this in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. You are dismissed.